You're listening to a story from Work in Progress, a show about the meaning and identity we find in work. From Slack, I'm Dan Meisner.
I literally threw myself into the lion's den, so to speak, in the sense that there was no turning back.
That's Laura Ray. She's a professional comedian. For over 30 years, she's performed at clubs, in her own TV specials, at major comedy festivals, and won several awards along the way. She's also the artistic director of a major comedy festival herself.
It's the most vulnerable I think I've ever been on stage.
But last year, at a small comedy show, Laura was feeling uncharacteristically scared about a new act she would be performing for the first time.
I was worried about people laughing.
Laura was worried about people laughing, as in she didn't want them to laugh. But isn't that the goal in comedy?
For the first time in my life, I was different from everybody else in the room. And that's scary.
Well, that's not entirely true. Laura has felt different than most people from a very early age.
And by the age of about 5 or 6, I was going into the cupboard and I was putting my sister's dresses on. I was standing there with my eyes tight shut. And I would try to turn into a girl. I was going to school, which was very gendered, and so there was a boy's entrance and there was a girl's entrance. Crazy. A fence in between us with iron bars, and at recess, I stood at the fence with my hands on the bars like it was a jail, and I stared into the girl's yard, thinking, why am I not there?
Okay, so Laura Ray was born Al Ray. Biologically a boy, she secretly identified as a girl, but she made a choice, or rather the choice was imposed on her, to present to the world as male. Growing up in the 60s and 70s in Scotland, it's not like being transgendered was an accepted thing.
I would say by 7 years old, I knew people could turn into girls and women if they wanted to. And from the time I discovered that, it's all I've ever really wanted. But because it was so locked up in so much other things, and because it just seemed virtually impossible, I just would bury it for so long in alcohol and trying to make it work and trying to be a husband and trying to be a father, trying to be heterosexual, all these things.
Laura also buried her true nature in what was a very male environment, stand-up comedy.
Stand-up is a testosterone-fueled industry for a very long time. And when I started in a stand-up in the 1980s, you couldn't even be gay. And I'm not suggesting that it might have turned to violence, but you would have been ostracized.
It seems weird that Laura would feel comfortable in this macho world, but apparently it's a common thing.
You know, you will find trans women in hyper-masculine places very often, because then you can just play the part and you don't have to be emotionally invested. So you join the army and you say, I'm going to be the best soldier and the bravest soldier, because nobody would imagine that a Green Beret is a woman inside, right? And so you hide.
And so hide she did. Until she came out as queer at 49, Laura performed as a schlubby, low-key, deadpan guy with pretty guyish material about her straight, male, married with a kid life.
You know, the thing I find most disturbing about online predators is they have the stamina to talk to a teenager for more than 10 seconds. They say if you want to be safe, all the computers should be in the living room where everyone can see what's going on. All the computers should be in the living room, except the one in my office that I used to download porn and have online sex behind my wife's back. There are limits.
But I was shocked at how much of my act was around perpetuating those kind of stereotypes that my partner was a bit naggy or whatever it is.
And the jockish world of stand-up comedy wasn't just a place to hide for Laura. The stage was an oasis from her double life.
I was putting on an act in a literal sense, but I never thought about gender dysphoria when I was on stage. It was one of the things I enjoyed about being on stage. I didn't even feel male or female. I just felt like I was a thing that made people laugh.
So Laura was relieved of her gender dysphoria on stage. Dysphoria meaning unease. But what about her material? Though it was drawn from her life, it wasn't really an honest portrayal, which seems at odds with artistic expression.
You cannot communicate your true self as an artist if you're not presenting as your true self. Which is not to say you can't perform or have a very good career. Their show business is full of phonies, and I don't even use phony entirely in a pejorative sense, you know.
So, Laura continued to present as male. She earned praise for her act, and she became the highly regarded artistic director of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. But eventually, despite coming out as queer at 49, living as a man had become too much.
I knew there were some things I could do to improve my situation and become more healthy emotionally. But I knew that gender dysphoria was the primary anxiety in my life. A friend came over and she said to me, "Why don't you just do this?" It was the first time anyone had ever said that in that way out loud. I felt that weight lift off me even when she asked me the question.
Surprisingly, Laura's family was okay with her decision to transition. So was the larger comedy community. But the question now became whether Laura's audience would do the same. Were they willing to accept her as a woman after 30 years of seeing her perform as a man, or would they reject her? Which brings us back to that small comedy show Laura found herself at, about to appear for the first time as a woman, in the one place she had been able to forget about her gender issues.
I was more worried about how they were going to accept me as a human being, because comedy performance relies on the good will of the audience. It was about my physical appearance and nothing else. Was the way I looked going to be a problem for the audience?
The way any comedian presents physically, the way they look, is enormously important to their act, much more so than in most other jobs. It's the first key to their relationship with an audience.
Please welcome Laura Ray.
Somebody introduced me and I came out. And people laughed. You know, I was heard, but it's not illogical that people would think that maybe I was doing a drag character. It's a perfectly acceptable, you know, long-standing comedic trope, you know?
But then Laura started to perform the new material.
It's great to be here. As some of you know, 9 months ago, I changed my gender. No. So, I didn't need that. For those of you on the balcony, to female.
And once they understood I was trans, then the laughter stopped. These were not unkind people. And that wasn't always the case for trans people and still isn't.
I haven't been doing this very long, but I'm getting a real sense the makeup is going to start to cut into my weed money.
But it was very interesting because as soon as I said, I've changed my gender, I'm transitioning, I started to do jokes about it, two things happened. One is I saw that the jokes that I was doing, people were responding to them, and I saw there was a little bit of discomfort in the room, especially amongst women, that people had laughed, and that my feelings might have been hurt, right? Because women are just more sensitive to that kind of thing. And so, you know, it's a lot going on. Because before, when I was male, it's just, it's strut, it's confidence, it's arrogance, it's, you know, a whole bunch of things.
So now, at 52, I'm completely changing my endocrine system. Not by myself, with the help of a doctor. This is not something you want to leave to the YouTube video. I learned this the hard way when I tried to neuter the cats. Spend the $80 is all I'm saying.
The audience had accepted Lara. They were laughing with her, not at her.
The biggest thing was I felt validated and excited about being on stage, but I felt I was too much like my old stand-up persona, and this was causing me anxiety. And I actually thought for maybe a couple of weeks, as I took a little break, that maybe I was going to move away from stand-up.
Why quit? Lara had achieved the external validation she was looking for. But the question now became whether she was willing to accept herself, growing pains and all.
I used to get anxiety. I'd do a set, I would kill, I'd do very well. Then I'd see a photograph of myself. And I would hate it because I think I was standing like a man or just posturing like a man or just, you know, my voice. I hate my voice and, you know, all these kind of insecurities.
Interestingly, Lara's self-acceptance has been nurtured by a dialogue with the audience.
And so what I'm doing now is I'm able to joke about where I've made mistakes and pratfalls and stuff like that, right? Because you're not perfect, right? And you can't be the perfect trans woman, and you can't be your better self, and you can't completely forget that you were male a year and a half ago, or any of these things. And so rather than be embarrassed and shocked and horrified and try to hide these things, you have to realize they make great comic material. Having lunch with my parents for the first time in Toronto, I come out of a bathroom. One of the waitstaff, male waitstaff, is like, comes up to me like a roadrunner. He's like right in my face, and I say, I will use whatever effing bathroom I want to, you know, and so on. And he says, you have some toilet paper on your shoe, miss, because I had a big trail of toilet paper, and that's what he was running over to tell me, you know. And so I do that as a bet, right? And then I've turned it into a joke. And it works because that's a very common thing, right? Which is the idea of you making a mistake and then you can't let go. So you just dig it, you know, you just dig yourself deeper. When I share experiences as a trans person, that really can be distilled down to what it's like when you don't fit in, what it's like when you're different from other people, and you really find those emotional beats, then very quickly you find this little differentiation between your experiences and another person's experience, even though they don't even know what a trans person is. They know what it means to be lonely. They know what it means to be rejected. They know what it means to be embarrassed and misunderstood. And that's what I want to do as a trans woman, as a performer, is crack the code, find that kind of emotional connection that makes my experience and my anxieties universal.
It's not easy starting over at 52. I know some of you are very confused by all of this, and I totally understand. I don't remotely look 52.
Unfortunately, off the stage, that connection can sometimes get lost between Lara and her male comic friends and colleagues. She's finding out the hard way about sexism, especially in her job as the artistic director of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
I am undermined more. I am teased, and I don't mind it, but I am teased more. They talk back to me more frequently. Like if I say, you know, I prefer you didn't do that joke, they'll argue with me, Whereas before, they would just say, whatever you want, boss, you know? I've lost status. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it, even though I'm in a very powerful position. But a woman in a powerful position has less status than a man in the same position, for the most part. And this is the primary reason that they are hostile, is that there's a perception, and some of it is true, that I am more favorable to women, to promoting women, to having more women get opportunities than perhaps I was before.
But Lara seems willing to accept the challenges she faces in her professional career as a comedian in exchange for a more profound personal experience.
And now I have an almost female level of estrogen in my body, and I feel amazing, but I'm freezing all the time. Am I right, ladies? Because your skin is looser in your body, this is true, and has much less moisture. So I'm cold, but it's a dry cold. That's a good joke.
Everybody that talks about me since I transitioned, that knew me before, says they'd never seen me smile. And now I smile all the time. I smile on stage. I laugh much more in a more genuine way. And it's just, I guess this is what it's like to be normal, you know?
You guys are an amazing audience, but I have to go because I can't hold my stomach in any longer. Thank you very much. Thank you.
For more stories about finding meaning and identity in work, subscribe to Work in Progress in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out at slack.com/podcast or tweet us @slackstories. Thanks for listening.